Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, and I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of Scale Up Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe that in order to scale up your company, the first place you actually have to start is by looking at yourself and really figuring out what it is that you lack and you need to scale up on in order to get to the next level. So really excited today to chat about this with Zara. Zara is the co-founder and chief of staff at Levenu. Levenu is a startup out in London. And, super excited, Zara, to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, brilliant. And folks, as always, I like to give everyone a bird's eye view of what we're going to be chatting about today. And, you know, I've been around, maybe I shouldn't be saying that, but I have been around for a while. And, you know, 20 odd years of doing business, I realized that, as I mentioned earlier on, to really grow, you need to, you know, look in the mirror and figure out how you're going to evolve yourself. And it's a vital ingredient to add to the recipe as you scale up. And as an executive and an entrepreneur, you want to know what pieces of the puzzle you yourself need to add in order to really, you know, jump out those blocks and start building a team, start going into different locations, etc. So part of that is also making certain that you continuously have what lots of people call the growth mindset. You're thirsty for knowledge. So, you know, let's get Zara into the discussion today. And let's start from the top. Zara, I mean, you guys are doing some fantastic work at Levenu, and you and I have had chats, and you seem to be pushing the boat out in so many different spaces and places. But what are you doing, or what have you done in order to continuously get the know-how yourself in order to evolve as a co-founder, as a chief of staff, as an executive of a startup that's going places?
Good question. Well, I've had to adapt a lot and learn lots of new things while growing in Levenu. I think we live in a time where access to information is relatively easy. So I definitely have the advantage of being able to tap into a lot of informational resources, from books to podcasts have helped me a lot. Articles, you name it, really, it varies a lot. I guess at the start of Levenu, this is about a year and a half ago, I really knew what I was doing and the things that we were starting off with, which was more the marketing, the sales, the PR, and setting that up. I had a lot of experience with it and it was not something new to me. However, as the company started to grow and we started to expand and operate in different countries, and yeah, you kind of had to adjust yourself. And my role kept on continuously changing due to the demands of the company at that moment. So I had to like reinvent myself several times and also reinvent my role. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of being a chief of staff. You have to do everything that the company would need to scale up. So yeah, I just had to turn to a lot of information that was accessible on the internet. Also, sometimes one of the scariest, or I wouldn't say scariest, but one of the things I hesitated towards and wish I had done before, and I guess perhaps it's because I'm a younger founder, but tapping into some of your network and just grabbing a coffee and asking for advice, because there are lots of people around you, even if they're not very close to your network, just randomly reaching out a cold message to somebody saying, hey, well, I'm a new founder and you have experience in X. I wondered if I could take, I don't know, 30 minutes of your time to just get feedback, which I did do once or twice, I think, and it did really help. So, yeah.
I like it. And one thing you mentioned there was adaptability, right? And how have you navigated that? And how have you made certain that you can quite easily and quickly flick between different priorities, maybe shift your mindset from one project to another project, and in an instance, still making certain that you guys are moving or marching towards your end objective?
Good question. I've always had a role that was very flexible, or me doing lots of things at the same time. I actually really enjoy it. I'm a firm believer that not everyone enjoys having a job description like that. But for me, it gives me a lot of pleasure. I am able to enjoy it. It gives me the adrenaline I need. And how have I been able to do that? I guess focusing and structuring my day, even though most of the times it's really hectic and messy. And then I think it's also good to have some people around you that can navigate towards, okay, well, this is the focus, this is where we're going to go, instead of you just going all around the place.
Because here's the thing, I mean, we talk about adaptability and, you know, the growth mindset, but, you know, we also have to lead a team, right? Lead a public. Let's say a public rather than a team. And the public includes investors. It includes prospects, includes customers, includes obviously your internal team. So although we are adaptable, we need to, you know, lead. And inside that, we also need to make certain we have clear communication lines out to that public. And in changing roles and changing facets of starting up your business, how have you continuously led your public to the mission that you obviously want, the mission outcome you're looking for? And in that direction, how has communication played a role in that?
So we found that, I mean, at the start, we didn't really have a very public voice. Let's say it's only been the last 6 to 7 months where we've really gone out in the public. Before that, we were really just building and focusing internally. I guess our best way of communicating was really a lot of written work. So publishing things to really clarify what we do. We had an enormous amount of miscommunication in terms of the product we actually provide. Lots of the customers confused us with a very similar but slightly different model, which is the revenue-based financing, however done in a slightly different way. So we led to blogs, articles to really communicate what we did to educate the public and our clients. Okay, this is the service that Levenue provides. And because there was a bit of a misunderstanding in terms of what our product was.
No, totally understand. And as you're going through this process, what are the triggers that make certain that you and your team that you lead in continuously have the mindset of growth? Because here's the thing, I mean, not everyone's a founder, not everyone's an entrepreneur, not everyone wants that ride. So as a leader in your company, how do you make certain that that growth mindset, that adaptability mindset, you know, people want that, people are all in on that?
Yeah, well, that was one of the pieces that was a bit difficult to navigate at the start. In terms of the growth mindset, we tried to tackle that in an easier way. So what we had internally, especially in like the building phases, we did 1 month sprints for the entire company where we would go over and we'd like have it on the first day of the month. And also, even if it was like, we'd have the entire company there, also people from different sectors from the different parts of the company. So we'd have the tech, the legal, the sales and marketing, the internal management, and we'd all set those goals. And that kind of helped us through like the short bursts of building and like scaling quickly. Then we slowly turned the 1 month, 2 month sprints, then to 3 months because we had like more long-term goals and we weren't changing as fast, I would say. To answer your entrepreneurial team mindset and how to tackle that, I think once you hire somebody, you need to very quickly start understanding what their personality is. And it took me a lot of time to navigate through that and also to accept that not everyone might have the same mindset that I do, or not everyone craves the same adrenaline or hecticness in work, because it's really something you have to enjoy. And there is a very clear divide between the team members where you can really, you have to have a more structured approach and like have a very concrete path and really testing things before we're even sure this will work. We need to be able to make that divide. Raging, exploring what we're going to do mindset doesn't really work out because, yeah, like I said, not everyone has the same passion for it or enjoys this hecticness and messiness of figuring things out in the same way.
It sounds like the structure that you guys put in place initially, i.e., you know, the sprints that you put in, at least gives the urgency required across the company. So there's urgency, we need to do this, and maybe there's daily stand-ups and stuff like that across the business. So already you put in a mindset, there's priority, there's urgency, let's get up, let's get going, let's get talking, right? And that's, I guess, for me, it feels like that in and of itself allows those that are just outside of, you know, maybe the chief team, the executive team, it gives them that feeling of firstly urgency, also structure, and then obviously also making certain that there's outcomes at the end of it. So, you know, it sounds like a good platform that you installed at the beginning. Then you can rev that up and you can rev that down depending on what's going on, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the most important or the things that really helped us that we didn't really predict was how triggering and exciting it was, for example, the sales team to hear what the tech team are working on and people from different pieces in the company to really understand, okay, this is what the legal team are working on. This is the next steps, the tech team, the sales marketing team, and having the full company kind of know where we're going in all of these little different directions really did spark a excitement and motivation within the team, because everyone would get excited for a new release, something that we're working on. Even if it was small integrations, it would really get the whole team going. And it really united us in a way. It was funny because at the start, sometimes I'm not a developer myself and I have very little technical knowledge, unlike my co-founders. But for me to hear what they were working and building on was just really exciting for me as well, and just transferred through the entire company. So that's probably a recommendation.
And, you know, during this process, I mean, you obviously were learning as well as a co-founder. What specific knowledge or learnings did you get out of this phase of growth? As you're going through, you're creating sprints, you're getting your urgency into the team, you are making certain that there's outcomes. And the whole company is going through a cycle of development here, right? And obviously you as a co-founder, you're also going through a cycle of development. What did that evolution look like and what did it feel like? And what exactly did you learn from it?
Tough question.
That's why I'm here.
What did I learn from our growth stages? I guess adaptability. I think once we initially started Levenue in the brainstorming phases, there was lots of things that we envisioned in our head or wanted to build or thought would be a good addition to the product that didn't really work out. I guess once you're a founder or at the start of the initial brainstorming moment, you think of things that are really out of this world, and not in terms of like, oh, can we build this, but does the market even need this? I think being able to humbly let go of some pieces and understand that, okay, this isn't going to fit the market and take that, because it hurts the ego a little bit, and not forcing your product into, there was lots of things that we wanted to develop that actually weren't necessary or nobody had any interest in it. And learning how to take that, I guess, was a bit hard, but very useful, I guess.
How did you feel, you know, through this process? What were the raw emotions as you're going through this journey? Was it a case of, you know, oh shit, this is not going to work? Or was it a case of, oh, interesting, you know, A, B, and C does equal something. And if we tweak this and we tweak that, then we actually going to get something even better.
Yeah, well, I was very lucky in the sense that initially in our launching moments, I was basically sales and marketing all in one. So I would lead, I guess, the first 100 sales calls that we had with founders. I did the majority of them, both myself and Ben, my co-founder. So I really got to understand from the founder's perspective in terms of what they wanted as a product. I really had like, I was on the front line having these conversations every day, and then sometimes coming back to our development team is saying, well, we're actually, this thing that we're trying to build here isn't really going to fit with what the founders want. And initially, we are serving the founders on one side of our marketplace. We're not looking to get into the buy side later on, the investors on the marketplace. But towards the founders, there was lots of things that we wanted to implement in that we didn't really think was necessary. This is more interesting and switch our approach both into the best of the tools that we had creatively designed out that aren't probably as useful or not at this stage, and then perhaps switch them over or just move them onto a later stage of the product.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
I constantly speak to founders, and one of the things I have realized is the founders that first start off exactly as you talk about as sales and marketing are the founders that actually develop a product that the market wants, right? Because you're on the front line, you're hearing the stories, you're hearing the problems, you're hearing the rejections, and you're feeling the rejections. It's not nice to get 100 no's or 200 no's or 300 no's, but sometimes it's part of the process, right? But as you've evolved as a business and also as a co-founder, how have you let go of that function and moved on into obviously, you know, other things in the business?
That's something I'm still working on. It's really hard. I think both myself and my co-founder, Ben, had to let go of some certain pieces. It's not very nice, and finding that balance and knowing how to prioritize in my head, because at some point, I really have a problem with wanting to do it all, which just does not work. And I have to be dragged out of certain pieces. Usually my co-founders who have to do that. How have I dealt with it? I don't know. I think that's something I'm still dealing with. I really like being involved in lots of the things I started off doing. But I guess as the company grows, well, I'm unable to carry on doing all of those roles, including the more operational roles, I would say. We're still working on how to figure that out internally.
Yeah. And this is all about, you know, for me, it's all about building that leadership group, right? And then instead of getting drawn into all the operational maybe topics, you're more a case of leading the troops down a course of action. And then if something really blows up, you as a leader can jump down because you've actually been in the engine room and you know how to solve it, right?
Yeah, I guess that was one of the helpful things, because at the start, I mean, I guess this is the same for most founders, but because from the moment of starting, you have to do so many things, it's really easy to give that feedback and give that advice, because I have done the exact same call or approach or whatever it might be. You've done all of it. So it's really easy to just come in, even though one of the hardest pieces for me, which I still do very often, the sales calls, I was always so afraid that because I was one of the founders, I had a lot of passion in my communicating towards the clients, and I really understood their pain. And in a lot of instances, and this happened several times, not the best time of management, but we would go over our planned call and just have a very deep conversation. And I never wanted to let go of that part, because I wasn't really sure who could bring the same feeling towards those conversations and the same pain points. But yeah, I guess you have to learn to move some of those things away.
Yeah, and that is the evolution, right? You start in a company, you're evolving it. You know, a vital ingredient in all businesses is the people, right? And the relationships with your people. And when I say people, I mean, you know, everyone, not just, you know, the people that you work with day in, day out that are part of your internal team, but also your public, right? Your investors, your prospects, your partners, etc. And how has these relationships evolved over time? How have you evolved that people relationships from a business and co-founding perspective?
I don't know how far the relationships have really changed. I guess...
Evolved.
I'm not quite sure how to answer this question. I don't really...
Because evolves. Everything evolves, right? So in what I see in a lot of the clients I work with and a lot of the businesses I work with, there's a vital ingredient that a lot of them have, and it comes in three aspects. One is making certain that they have strong leaders and strong leadership. And then another is making certain that there is powerful communication on a consistent basis, both internally and out to the market, the public. And then thirdly is making certain that you continuously build relationships with the people that you're working with and the community you're working with, right? So I'll give you an example. Maybe one of the founders I was working with, you know, was at a point in time looking for a number of hires, right? As everyone does. But they had a bit of an issue in the fact that they could only use the one route strategy, which is going out to a number of different types of recruitment agents and asking them for a certain job description, or asking them for a certain profile because they got a certain job. Now, I said to him, I said, listen, that is interesting, right? But the issue here is that you haven't evolved the relationship part of your business. You haven't developed a community of people that you are nurturing over time. You are involved with in some way, shape, or form, right? And if they had, you know, they'd also be able to tap into that community of people and start having, you know, real in-depth conversations with people they may have known for, you know, 2, 3, or 4 years. And then that point in time could have bought into the business. So what I'm saying is, you know, how are you evolving, or how are you looking at it? How has that evolved right now? Is that clearer?
It's clearer. I'm really unsure on how to answer that question. Our communication, I guess, hasn't really changed that much in the last 6 months to the external public.
Okay, cool. So listen, I mean, that's fantastic. And as we sort of finish up on this section of the podcast and we go into the fun part, which everyone always waits for. Well, I think I'm going to do the fun part.
Wait, this wasn't
fun? No. Oh, bam. Good one. The fun part for the audience and me. Anyway, the fun part. So what do you think are the two or three things that startup founders or founders that are going through growth need to consider in order to scale up themselves before they start looking internally to scale up different parts of their business?
Scale up themselves. Well, there is lots and lots of, I don't think there is just one like recipe for this. One of my tips, I read a book really early at the start, and the title is called Surrounded by Idiots. Mm. Not that you are surrounded by idiots, and that's the funny joke that he makes right at the start, but I think to scale up yourself, and that was one of my biggest learning curves, is that you're quickly going to start understanding that if you are trying to lead a bigger team, the bigger that team gets, the more diversified the characteristics and personalities are in that team. Mm. And if you, as a leader, are unable to correctly voice your opinion or lead or manage that team, very quickly things are going to go wrong. And you can try and say, well, I'm going to hire people that are just all like me. I can guarantee you that's not going to work out very well. But that adaptability, I'm very glad that one of my co-founder, he really has had this under the knee and was able to transfer that onto me. But it was a learning curve for me for a very long time to try to understand how to adapt to people and try to like balance out in the same communication or getting to the same goal while we're all very different. Mm. I mean, if you look at just the sales team, that goes pretty easy because they have very similar characteristics. Mm. The tech team, they have very similar characteristics. Now trying to get them to work together, it's not difficult. It's like, I mean, you just have to adapt and know how to adapt and how to merge that together. Mm. And as long as you, as a leader, can really easily communicate with all different types of people, all different characteristics and personalities, then you're going in the right way. But for the majority of people, and it's really easier said than done, because I thought I'll just read one book, it's going to be fine. No, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of effort. And yeah, it's a very long learning curve that I still have not mastered and really working on, but that's probably a tip.
No, brilliant, brilliant. And some really sage advice. And I will also include that book that you mentioned. I'll include in the show notes. So folks, don't worry about scribbling anything down. Take a look at the show notes and you can pick it up at the end of the show. So now into the flash round, which is the least fun part of the show. I'll correct myself. We've already done the fun part. But drum rolls and here we go. Okay, so the flash round, everyone knows it. Bizarro does it. So I'm going to describe and walk through the rules. I didn't make the rules. The rules are made by the community. That's how it goes, believe it or not. But here they are. I asked you three quick questions that are sort of a yes or no answer, although sometimes it's not yes or no, it's something else. And then I give you the mic and you are allowed to ask me one and only one question. Some people are a bit sneaky and cheeky and they ask me two, and that's also allowed. But let's head into it. And I got the first question, which is this. Can startups... scale-ups, they're going through seed, series A, etc. Can they get funded during recessions?
Yes.
Love it.
Can I go more into that?
Yes, say yes and.
I guess even in a recession, great teams and great ideas will still get funded. I mean, if we just take a look back way back 20 years ago, it's PayPal. They did get funded in the recession, and many other companies just like them. I guess right now, the one thing that will stop happening is that people are going to throw money around that ideas that aren't very concrete, or people brainstorming and they get funded millions. I think that's going to stop, but great ideas with great teams are still going to get funded. Yeah. I wouldn't really worry too much about that, especially in the pre-seed, seed, series A ish rounds. That's still fairly the same. I don't think much has changed in the last few weeks. So my answer is yes.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, now we go down a topic that is been discussed a lot recently. Is the metaverse fantasy or reality? Yeah, excuse the sort of...
I would say both. I think people are slightly exaggerating how useful it will be. I think it will be very good in the gaming industry. It's going to be booming in there. I see a lot of the benefits for it. However, switching in-person meetings to the metaverse meetings or things along those lines, I don't think in how far that will take off. At the end of the day, we are still human. We do require these connections. I don't know if you're or if you have worn a lot of these VR glasses, but I can guarantee you that after 30 to 45 minutes, it's going to hurt and you're going to get dizzy. It's not really the most comfortable experience unless you're experiencing a movie or a game or something like entertainment-wise. I think it can really boom in some of these things. But in terms of having, some of the ideas I saw, like fake clothes or like virtual clothes in virtual fashion shows. I don't know how far that will take off, but especially for the entertainment industry, I think it's a nice alternative or some nice addition. But I don't think we're going to have all of our weekly meetings in the metaverse, at least not for revenue. Who knows? Maybe, but I don't think so.
Okay, well, there we go. You heard it here. Okay, so last one from me. Keep creating or stick to your guns in uncertain times.
Keep creating?
Yes. Your answer is the right answer. Yeah. Don't worry. Don't look at me. That's a good answer.
I really don't, once you're certain, trying things out leads sometimes to the best and most innovative thoughts. So I would say just go for it. I guess starting a company is very uncertain, so you must be going for the keep creating routes.
Yeah.
I assume.
No, hey, man. Entrepreneurs are creators, right? So they need to go out there and they need to create. So, but sometimes, it is a requirement to also, hold back and take a look at what's going on from a macroeconomic perspective before you go out and create, right? So there's no right answer here, but, I'm in your camp. The creators are the people that are, creating the new economy, right? So let's go out there, folk, and listen to Zara and keep on creating. I'm with you. Okay, so those are good answers, all of them. And now it's up over to you, my friend.
Well, I have one question before I get started. Okay. Does my question have to be a yes or no, or can I just go fully for it?
Whatever you want, go for it. I'm going to give you the stage, right? So you're the host, go for it.
I would say, since you are the expert here and have spoken to lots and lots of founders, what was the best piece of advice that you heard from a founder that you really took through with you to your working life?
I'd say this, the best piece of advice that I have received is not from a founder, but it's from a leader that I had the privilege of meeting, 1992, 1993, and someone that really created a new country. I grew up in South Africa, and I had the privilege of meeting Nelson Mandela a couple of times. And he gave us a speech, in 1992, 1993, that set the course for reconciliation in South Africa. Because he could have taken a couple of routes, right? He could have gone down the Zimbabwe route and, you know, taken farmland away from different people and really gone down a route of maybe sort of not economic war, but, you know, war between different types of people in South Africa. He didn't. He chose the route of reconciliation, the route of unity, and the route of working together as a team to achieve something. And that route has shown that actually it was the right route to take, because today, you know, South Africa, although it has its problems, is actually an economy in South Africa, in Africa, that does pretty well for a little country in the midst of nowhere, in a way, right? So I would say this. I mean, that was the most powerful thing I've ever listened to in my life. And, you know, the drop of advice that he said to us is this, is you have a choice. You can decide whatever you want to do, but it's up to you. And once you decide, you got to go out there and execute. Don't just talk, execute. That's what he did back in 92, 93. I'm doing that with my stuff. And like you, you're doing that with your stuff. So I'll say that to everyone.
Execute.
Yeah. You have a choice, go out there and execute.
I guess executing is the hard part. But it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, although, you know, listen, and also all the founders I've spoken to, there's been some great nuggets as well. But that one point in my life is definitely something I always look back to. And it's a bit of my North Star, as they say.
Yeah, well, it's very hard to beat that speech. So,
I agree. Well, there we go. So, listen, awesome show today. Love both parts. The fun part and the funner part, which
I think way around. You have to rephrase that. I think that's the new thing. Yeah. The fun part and the funner part.
Yeah. Listen, there he goes. Zara's giving me lessons, which is all good. And listen, as I always say to everyone, all my guests, what is the best way for the listeners to reach out to you, to check out your project, and to get involved if they want to get involved?
Well, you can always send me an email on za@levenu.eu if you want to get involved. If you want to just see what Levenu is doing, I would recommend either going on our LinkedIn, which I guess you'll put in the show notes, and on our website, which is just www.levenu.com. And there you can just see the product in case you are a founder that needs non-dilutive financing. You can just access it there.
Brilliant. And really enjoyed the show today, and really looking forward to watching you guys move forward, scale up, and enter all those markets that you want to enter, and really impact the lives of founders. So, you know, super show today, and super excited to see your journey.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.